Our AccuWeather forecast says for today, going to be cloudy with a good chance for some rain, high around 67. The name of Racine's recent homicide victim was Kim Cantwell. It came from her biological daughter, not from police, who did arrest 49-year-old Harry Fumick for the 50-year-old woman's murder and her body placement, with some help, into a dumpster behind the neighborhood grocery store at 16th and Taylor. Racine's Interfaith Coalition held their candlelight prayer vigil last night in the same parking lot where that dumpster stands, and where Victoria Newton of Appleton said that the mother who gave her up for adoption had been clean from drugs and alcohol for 4 years. She told reporters how personal experience showed her the kind of anger that could bring somebody to take another person's life, but she found help through religion to the point that she can only forgive, not hate, the person who killed Cantwell and those who helped to dispose of her mother's body.
You know, there's people here that want him to be dead. What does that say about humanity? It shows you how fragile. Everybody has a limit. And I found out what my limit was a long time ago and decided that it just wasn't worth being angry and taking it out on everybody for. So I guess my message to him would be that I forgive you. I forgive your wife. And me and my family are praying for you and your wife and the people involved in this.
A memorial for Cantwell set for Friday evening, 6 o'clock, Racine's Northside Purith Strand Funeral Home and Crematory. Newton says anyone is welcome to attend. Harry Fumick, meanwhile, remains jailed as the case against him continues. A man from Racine facing charges for allegedly breaking into a couple of city businesses in late September.
37-year-old Gary Jones has been charged with 2 counts of burglary. Jones matched the description of a man who threw a brick through the glass doors at Greg's Pub on Wisconsin Avenue September 26th and stole an unknown number of coins. 4 days later, the same man smashed a glass door at Main Stop Foods on North Main Street and took cigarettes. Both incidents were caught on surveillance video. A preliminary hearing on the charges was scheduled for later this month. Janet Hoff, AM 1400, WRJN News.
A controversial intergovernmental agreement involving the annexation of land in the town of Paris along the interstate into the village of Summers, which led to lawsuits filed by the city of Kenosha and some affected landowners, is all going to be scrapped with the announcement of an agreement in principle between the leaders of all those entities and the county. It's to help guide the future developments of the area. Kenosha's Mayor John Antaramian telling WRJN News he asked everybody take a step back and let them work together on something that would be an acceptable compromise. They have that now, an agreement announced that includes an overall concept for the future development of the area. The agreement, however, he says, does not include any forced annexations for the next several decades.
Nobody is going to be required to come into the city or into the village unless they wish to over the next 50 years. I mean, so there's a long time frame in the regions that we're looking to have that people will have the opportunity to come into.
A formal boundary agreement will be coming with all this. The compromise would settle the lawsuit filed by the municipalities over the original agreement, but it does not settle those suits by Paris residents concerned about plans to annex their properties into Summers for future development. And one of the actors from The Walking Dead TV series, Dana Guerrera, who's also a Tony-nominated playwright, scheduled to stop at the downtown Racine County Democratic Party headquarters, stumping for Hillary Clinton and other Democratic candidates. She'll be urging local residents to vote early and, of course, support Hillary in the election. A news release from the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, says that she will be also urging people to check their registration status at iwillvote.com. Felony and misdemeanor bail jumping charges, along with retail theft allegations, issued by the Racine County District Attorney's Office against local resident David Pierce. This in reference to the alleged attempt to steal baby formula from the Walmart on Oaks Road in Mount Pleasant. The 25-year-old Pierce, according to the charging document, tried to steal 12 cans of baby formula worth about $214. That's when the front door greeter asked to see the sales receipt. Pierce reportedly said he didn't have one, pushed the greeter, but then himself tripped and fell. Employees holding him until police got there. Video surveillance from October 3rd and 6th also showing Pierce taking baby formula, estimated at $439. Walmart, in the criminal complaint, estimates nearly $6,000 worth of baby formula stolen in recent times. They might start to lock up that product as a result. Felony charges of attempting to flee or elude law enforcement and second-degree reckless endangerment of safety, as well as 2 felony bail jumping charges issued against a Caledonia resident, Nico Torrado. Criminal complaint says the 24-year-old twice texted a village police officer about meeting him Monday morning on Douglas Avenue, then later in the day on Acorn Trail. In both those instances, though, Toronto, in a vehicle, sped away, the officer in pursuit, until both those chases were terminated for safety reasons. An Oak Creek police officer, after the second incident, though, found Toronto in his vehicle for the driveway to the We Energies power plant. He'll be in court October the 19th. Kenosha Unified School Board last night, in a special meeting, unanimously approved a multi-million dollar settlement with the Royal Bank of Canada. This regarding an investment effort that went south when the stock market fell. The failed strategy, which involved four other school districts and collateralized debt obligations, was through the investment company of Stiefel Nicholas & Company with the RBC nearly a decade ago. Under this agreement, Kenosha Unified reportedly recovers 99% of its $37.1 million loss. The investment strategy at the time geared at covering the escalating cost of post-retirement health care coverage for school district retirees. And Gateway Technical College and Cardinal Stritch University ink an agreement designed to ease the nursing shortage by reducing the time needed for students to earn their bachelor's degree in nursing. This agreement allows students to be concurrently enrolled at Cardinal Stritch and at Gateway. It lets them earn a bachelor's degree in as little as one semester after getting an associate degree in nursing. The collaborative will admit its first students in the fall of 2017 in that semester. Gateway and Stritch right now have 18 transfer agreements in place. We're seeing Mayor John Dickert's delivering his 2017 budget message to the Common Council tonight at 6 o'clock at City Hall. It's to be followed by the overview on the spending and borrowing plan by Administrator Tom Friedel. The Council in Committee of the Whole will then be reviewing each department over the next few weeks. That will lead to a November 3rd public hearing and a final vote of the Council on the 15th. Racine's Board of Parks, Recreation, and Cultural Services meeting at 5:15 this afternoon. That's in room 130 of the City Hall Annex. That agenda includes the $100,000 offer from Racine Rotary toward construction of a permanent outdoor performance venue at Festival Park. City would have to provide $50,000 as a match through capital spending. At issue for Park and Rec, the Rotary Club's request to rename the complex Paul P. Harris Rotary Park, for which there is a specific policy. Thousands of absentee ballots already filled out by Wisconsinites may not count in November because of new legislation signed in the spring that requires those ballots to list the full address of a witness, including municipality name, or the ballots will not count. Problems have been reported in Racine and Milwaukee and a few other places. Municipal officials cannot amend the information unless they track down the voter and get his or her permission. The League of Wisconsin Women Voters, meanwhile, threatening legal action if this new election commission for Wisconsin doesn't adopt a new policy to accept the absentee ballots as is, missing the name of the municipality but having the street address. Milwaukee County Circuit Court Judge John Seifert says he is seriously considering running for sheriff in 2018, telling the Journal Sentinel he's 90% sure he'll challenge Sheriff David Clark in the Democratic primary and will not seek re-election next year. Seifert's been a critic of Clark for the past 2 years since the sheriff got a fourth term, says Clark is not doing his job and is too busy, quote, running around the country supporting Donald Trump and grabbing media headlines on Fox News, unquote. And Rowdy's has joined a growing number of pharmacies in Wisconsin that sell Narcan to customers without a prescription. The non-addictive drug can reverse the effects of an opioid overdose. It saves lives, but Dan Tyke with North Shore Fire Rescue is also warning that users should not feel a false sense of security.
It shouldn't be the only thing that people rely on, and it shouldn't make people feel comfortable and confident to use a drug that potentially can kill them.
Narcan now available at all 70 Rowdy's pharmacies, but it will only be sold after consultation with a pharmacist. A Racine County jail inmate's $65,000 lawsuit for alleged excessive force by a police officer will proceed. City Finance and Personnel Committee approving the city attorney's office request to represent Officer Jacob Smetana.
Anytime a city employee is sued for actions taken in the course of employment, we're required to do one of two things, either defend them or let them hire an attorney to defend themselves, and then we have to reimburse, and we just feel it's just cleaner if we just defend, but we have to ask for your approval, so that's what's going on here. We'd like to defend Officer Smetana.
City Attorney Scott Letney saying that Jerry Wilson alleges the officer punched him twice in the jaw March 13th as he was handcuffed to a hospital bed.
The lawsuit is for $65,000. If it's a civil rights claim, which this one isn't, it's a battery allegation, essentially, an excessive force allegation. If there was a civil rights claim, it could be significantly higher than that. But we don't have the same kind of statutory limitations that might exist in car accidents. accident cases or trip and fall cases.
Reports indicate Wilson, a Milwaukee resident, was legally intoxicated at the time and making threats to the arresting officers. Complaint says that at one point, Officers Matana delivered quote-unquote focus strikes to Wilson's left jaw area to stop the assaultive behavior. A recent shots fired call in Racine being connected to 25-year-old Dante Shannon by the district attorney's office. The Racine man reportedly found with a firearm during a traffic stop near 18th Street and Grange Avenue. Criminal complaint says Shannon ran from that vehicle, chased by the officer, who then learned of the shots fired call, which involved a car that matched the description of Shannon's car. Inside the vehicle, reportedly, a 9mm handgun under the front passenger seat with a spent shell casing. Shannon's going to be back in court a week from today. GOP presidential nominee Donald Trump planning another campaign stop in Wisconsin. His people saying it'll be next Monday, which is about 3 weeks prior to the election. Where and when remain unannounced so far. Libertarian U.S. Senate candidate Phil Anderson, meanwhile, says continued support of Trump shows the divisions that still exist within the Republican Party.
The people made him their nominee, despite the 16 other candidates that the GOP put up, and that naturally creates a division between the people that are serving in Washington and the people out in the country who are tired of two-party politics and tired of politicians that don't keep promises.
Anderson opposing Democrat Russ Feingold and incumbent Republican Senator Ron Johnson. He's hoping libertarians can pick up more support from disillusioned members of both of those parties. Another meeting held at the Mount Pleasant Village Hall last night for an update on the efforts to deal with the bluff erosion on Lake Michigan. Marty Griffin with the DNR says 15 property owners have received a temporary okay to begin work on their shorelines. Two of them have got final design plans ready to go. Meanwhile, one man said he was afraid to apply for a temporary permit, concerned it would force him into a project he simply can't afford.
I would tell you that I want to do something, but you know, if I don't know what my cost is going to be for a permanent fix in the timing to do that, I'm a little bit reluctant to take a permanent, even a temporary action, because I'm now going to be signing up for being able to do a permanent fix.
And this man believes the problem cannot be fixed piecemeal.
I'm looking for some leadership from the Corps of Engineers to either put jetties in place or, you know, if we need to increase the tax rate for the people along the shore to pay temporarily, maybe pay for a permanent solution. That's what I'm looking for. These individual, everybody doing their own thing or on their own lake frontage doesn't seem like a very effective way to manage this.
Another man said his insurance agent told him he was covered only if his house slid into Lake Michigan all in one day. Just like previous meetings, representatives of several state agencies gave the audience of about 36 a general overview of the services they provide. New analysis from the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance points to several issues regarding transportation funding that have been a little bit overlooked. The group has a couple of reports out in which their researchers indicate more than $1.4 billion was shifted from the state's dedicated transportation fund over to the general fund for non-transportation purposes, this between 2001 and 2011. And DOT budget transfers combined with lagging state transportation revenues led to a surge in transportation bonding from 2001, raising debt service costs from $90.3 million in 2000 to $472 million last year. Wisconsin's Department of Veterans Affairs is going to be hosting its annual Women's Veterans Conference tomorrow, 8:30 in the morning till 5 p.m. in Pewaukee at the Country Springs Hotel. Waukesha County native and U.S. Army veteran Erica Hartless, director of Academy Women's E-Mentor Program, is one of the featured speakers. Her organization fosters one-to-one mentoring relationships with an online platform for personal and professional development of veterans, military women, and military spouses. Our AccuWeather forecast is coming up. I'm Tom Cargo, WRJN News.